Hello and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances and I'll be your hostess. Hello and welcome to episode 81, Cutting Squares. Square cutting. Hip to be a square cutter. That's what I've been doing, cutting squares in all different sizes. It's not unfun. I wouldn't call it the biggest fun time I've ever had, but it's what I'm doing. I talk about it in the diaries. Today is Friday. Sorry, Friday. Not Thursday. Sorry. March 30th. It's almost April. Goodness gracious. 2012. And it's been a good but busy week. And I had planned on getting this posted last night, but then we got the surprise. Guess what? I have a band concert tonight. Notice. Like, thanks so much. And one of the things about Jack's Middle School, which is Durham Academy Middle School, it's a really nice school, and they do a great job with concerts and things like that. And so does the lower school. They're always very well done. You're always impressed with the kids, and they tend not to be overly long. Now, last night's concert was very well done, but what we hadn't realized, although Jack kept reminding us, you know, it was on the sheet that Mr. Zentner sent home with you in September. I'm like, yeah, right, honey. This is a concert where they actually work with an adult band. There's a band, it's sort of a retiree band. Anyway, band of grown-ups, the community band that our band leader's involved with, and they play together. It's like the kids' band, the seventh grade band plays for several songs, and then the grown-up band, and then they both play together. And it was very nice, but it meant it was a longer concert than we usually experience at Jack's Fine Middle School. So, and that just by the time I got home, I was like, no, the podcast is not happening. But it's been a good week, again, just a week cutting squares. I've been reading this book, The American Quilt, A History of Cloth and Comfort, 1750 to 1950, by Roderick Karakoff, text with Mary Elizabeth Johnson, which makes me think that maybe Mary Elizabeth Johnson wrote the text. I don't know. But nonetheless, I got this a couple years ago. I got it when I was going on a book tour, and it was kind of my present to myself to make going on a book tour a little less miserable. And it turned out not to be the right thing to read at that time. It's also the early stuff, the 18th century and early 19th century stuff at the time did not interest me all that much. But, you know, going to that museum in Charleston and seeing their collection of quilts, which was not a large collection, but it was interesting. And there were the Tree of Life quilts. And I was talking about this maybe last episode and kind of interested to see a lot of quilts with what we call medallions. And I was right about that, you know, the medallion centerpiece. And one of the things I didn't realize looking at these quilts in Charleston, one thing I did not realize about these 18th century quilts, these Tree of Life quilts that you see, they often do have a center medallion and then birds and trees and flowers all around, is that outside the medallion, I think seeing these quilts in pictures, what I thought I was seeing was essentially a quilt kit, in which women were cutting out panels and then sewing them together to make these quilts. And that didn't interest me a lot. But when I saw the quilts in Charleston, what I realized was that wasn't it at all, that these really were applique quilts. And moreover, they were essentially, the women were fussy cutting fabric, were cutting birds and flora and fauna out of fabric and then appliqueing them. And, you know, which actually, when you look at the quilts, at least that's what I saw. I could be wrong, but I, you know, and there were certainly large pieces that were a fussy cut, but I do think that's what they're doing, and then appliqueing. So it's almost more the effect of a collage, and that made it a lot more interesting to me. One of the kind of quilts that you see, or I don't know if it's kind of quilt as much as a technique, is called embroidery purse, which basically means Persian embroidery. It's a style of embroidery, and I saw that. Anyway, it's interesting, having seen those quilts, now this part of the book, the 18th century part of the book, has become more interesting to me. So I have been reading it and learning a lot about fabric and early quilts, and interested to see that patchwork really didn't come in until, I think, the late 1800s. That before that, the women weren't and that had a lot to do, of course, with the fact there was more fabric. There was more fabric available. This was becoming a big business concern as an enterprise. and, you know, the South was growing more cotton and there was more transportation and it was really happening. And so there was more fabric to play with and women were playing with it as we do today. Anyway, I'm finding that all interesting. I'm sure Susan, the history quilter, has covered it all much better in her podcast, but I thought I would mention that and I will probably share other tips and tidbits with you. Not tips. It's not a tip kind of book. Tidbits. It is a tidbit kind of book as I continue reading because I do find it quite interesting and I hope you might too. I don't know. Do you find that stuff interesting? I'm not asking this as a poll, what do you want me to talk about, but you know, there's certain aspects of quilt making. The stuff about fabric production, how the dyes were done and how that I find less interesting, but I am interested in the different processes that were in style. The different kind of quilt making that, you know, and to see the connection with actually what was available, what the cultural influences were, et cetera, et cetera. So interesting stuff to me, but it might not be to you. And that's okay because, you know, we're all cleaning our houses while we're listening to podcasts. That's not true. I'm actually usually sewing. And it may have been on Twitter. I don't know if it was on Twitter or on her podcast where Lazy Daisy was talking about how she listens to, because there was a discussion of sound quality and sound going up and down and in some podcasts. I think Darla had some concerns about the sound quality of her podcast. And Daisy was saying she listened on her iPod, so she had on earbuds or earphones or whatever we call them. And I thought, oh, that's a good idea because a lot of times I end up listening to some podcasts twice because if the sewing machine is running, I can't actually hear the podcast all that well. So maybe I will start listening on my little iPod, and that way I can hear as I sew. All right. I want to say thank you to everyone who commented on last week's episode. If you would care to comment on this week's episode, you can do so by going to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. There will not be interesting pictures, I don't think. I don't think I got any good pictures of quilts at Charleston. I will check again. Maybe I'll post one of those, even if it's bad, because who am I to poo-poo posting bad pictures since I do it all the time? But you can go over there, even if there are no fabulous pictures of work I've accomplished this week, because unless you want to see pictures of cut squares, which you probably don't, there's nothing to show you. But go over to that site, please, and leave a comment. And you can also go to my Podbean site, and a couple of people do that, and that's just fine. And that's offkilterquilt.podbean.com. You can email me at fdowell@ncrr.com. And I did get a couple nice emails. I got one from Chris, and I got one from Sally. And I need to write you guys back, and I will. I promise. Okay, I heard from Gretchen this week, and I actually discussed her comment in one of the Quilt Diaries, so we'll talk about that more in a second. I heard from Sarah and Amy Pinkelman. And Amy, thank you. I tweeted you this, but I'll say Amy suggested going online and finding YouTube videos of how to use various rulers. And what she suggested was searching Heirloom Creations on YouTube, which I did. And they do monthly tutorials on ruler use. And each month they do a different one. And they're very thorough and good. So thank you, Amy. She also mentioned that Creative Grids has how-to videos. So this is great because I do want to learn more about rulers and that was very helpful. Thank you so much. I want to say thanks to Kelly the Fifth and Zena, and in parentheses that says Z, any mouse, and Petty Skim and Tori, who's also done something with the cattails and clover line that I'm using for what I'm calling Rick's Star Quilt. And I really like it. The fabrics are very dark, and so that can make cutting a little difficult, especially, the thing I don't like about pre-cuts, at least the charms and the layer cakes, is that the edges are, whatchamacallit, we've gone through this again, I've forgotten it again, but you know, they're diagonal because they have been, like, sheared, whatever, you know what I mean. They are pinked. Pinking shears, cut, cut, cut little triangles. And I know that's done it's supposedly to keep the fabric from raveling and unraveling. But it can be, it's hard, I find, to cut. It's like, where do you cut from? And so I'm always lining up my ruler at the very edge of the points. And it feels difficult to get it lined up, to know if you have it lined up the way you want it lined up, which is correctly. Having said that, I do like the dark masculinity of these fabrics, and I hope my friend Rick will like them as well. And Troy did bring up the fact that March Madness has done its business on Carolina teams, including UNC, Duke, and State. We're all out of there. Now, my mom must be very happy because she's a Kentucky girl. So there you go. She's going to have fun, I guess, this weekend. I guess it is. I want to say thanks, too, to Rhonda and to Vivian. And Vivian, a lurker who came out of Lurkerdom to say hello and also to tell me about a book called Medallion Quilts, Inspiration and Patterns by Cindy Hamilton. And a book that new costs $264.36. But used, you can get it for about $15. So who knows? Maybe this will be my next thing. Medallion quilts. I don't know. I think I have to learn to applique first. I'm learning with the Dresden plate. So who knows? Maybe I'll become an applique queen. Food for thought. All right. We are going on. This will be kind of a short podcast today for me because I've been running in the 40 minutes. This is going to be in the 30 minutes. That's okay. I'm hoping I'll come back next week and just have tons and tons to tell you and I'll just go on for hours. Oh, happy day. But until then, listen up to the Quilt Diaries. P.S. Just listened to Quilt Diary Day 1. You'll hear a lot of clapping and yelling behind me, and that would be Will and the man, mostly Will, watching and responding to the Carolina basketball game. So that's what that noise is. I wasn't being invaded by a tribe of wild hollering chipmunks or anything. Not at all. Fear not. Be not afraid. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Sunday, March 25th, 2012. Carolina game's on. Carolina's hanging in there. We'll see. They might could do it. They might could not. As we say in North Carolina, they might could. I don't watch. It makes me too nervous. Anyway, I just wanted to give you a report on my weekend quilt making activities. I have been doing a lot of cutting. First of all, I went to Thimble Pleasures yesterday after going to the writers conference at Wake Forest, my alma mater. I participated on a panel on Saturday morning and then I headed on home but stopped off at Thimble Pleasures on my way. Got some China red, either China, no, it's probably Chinese red, just a solid blue red fabric and some white because I am going to do a red and white quilt. Solid red, solid white. Don't quite know yet how I'm going to do it, what pattern I'm going to use, etc., etc., but I'm going to do it. Also got some, what would you call it? It almost, it's not cream, I guess. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't tell you. But essentially, ecru? No, too dark. An off-white fabric. I am working on the quilt for Rick, my Bible study leader, and it has a name. It's the Dancing Stars quilt, but I'll tell you what, I will really refer to it, I think, as Rick's Star quilt, because I just know that it's Dancing Stars because I have the book open in front of me, but often as I'm sitting down to talk to you, I won't have the book open in front of me, and then I'll spend a lot of time kind of trying to remember what this quilt is called. It's called Rick's Star Quilt. Sorry, Mickey and Pam Lintott. That's just how it has to be. Anyway, right now I'm in the process of cutting that, and I needed fabric to make star points. Yes, so I've got a lot of cutting. I'm doing, really, it's been a cutting couple of days. With Rick's Star Quilt, I have to cut all the 10-inch pieces, layer cake pieces, into nine 3-inch squares. So I'm doing that, and I'm also cutting scraps. I've been scrap-baliciously inspired. I have just a lot of fabric sitting around. By my nature, I can't just throw it out, and it just seems wasteful and just, you know, against the environment to do that. So I have been sort of inspired, I think, by Pam talking about organizing her scraps and Daisy in general, the queen of scraps, as she has now been crowned, the queen of scraps, Daisy, over at Lazy Daisy Quilts. So I have a big pile of scraps. Actually, they're right next to me in a chair. And I think I'm going to get a basket. I think everyone should have a scrap basket. And when one has a few moments to oneself, one can cut scraps. I got the book Scrap Therapy. Cut the scrap. And she, the author, whose name is not before me, oh, it's over there, Ford, something Ford, Miss Ford, suggests that you cut your scraps into 2-inch, 3.5-inch, and 5-inch squares. I am going mostly for the 3.5-inch. I guess I should ask Daisy what her recommendation is. I feel right now I have not used a lot of 2-inch squares in my life. It could happen. And obviously, if I have fabric that only lends itself to cutting into 2-inch squares, that is, of course, what I'll do. But I think if I have my druthers, I will go for 3.5-inch squares. I also don't find myself using 5-inch a lot, but I don't know. If anyone has recommendations, let me know. Cutting fabric, I know a lot of people find that tedious, and I do too at times. There are times, though, when it's a very satisfying kind of chore. You know, it involves some ironing, and I always like ironing. Oh, the other thing, I have finally come down on the Mary's Best Press. Is it Mary Ann's Best Press? Mary Ellen's? It's Mary Ellen, isn't it? Mary Ellen's Best Press, the lavender scented. For a long time, I used the Downy Wrinkle Release, and I think I claimed that I would never stop. And then I was talking with Sandy about it in Hampshire, and I think she had some concerns about that. I don't even remember specifically now what her concerns were, but I think how that affects the fabric. And I apparently just was looking for an excuse to go over to Mary Ellen's side. So I did, and it smells really good. So I got some of that when I was at Thimble Pleasure. So I'm just spraying away the Mary Ellen's Best Press. It is Mary Ellen, right? And then ironing. So I enjoyed that part. I like a nice, crisp piece of fabric to cut. And yeah, I do. Sometimes it is a tedious thing to have to cut. But right now, like right in front of me, I have this very nice stack of cut squares for Rick's Star Quilt, and it just feels nice. And I, on the other side, to my right, I have some of the squares that I cut for scraps. And Miss Ford, who wrote the book Cut the Scraps, Scrap Therapy, Cut the Scraps, you know, she suggests just do it a little bit every day. You know, just take 10 minutes and do some scrap cutting. So I think that's good advice, and I like the idea. You know, the thing is, she suggests, and other people organize their scraps this way, I mean, plastic bins, like the shoebox size. I just hate investing in more plastic, and a lot of plastic bins, they don't smell good. I suppose you could wash them out with some ammonia or something, but I'm looking for an alternate to that. I don't know if I'll find it, and I may end up in just investing in, you know, plastic shoebox. Just clear plastic shoebox bins and just say, all right, that's just how it is. So, but I'm pondering that, how I want to store these scraps. While I was cutting, I participated in some Twitter chat. Do you chat on Twitter? I kind of feel you do. I'm still new to the world of Twitter, but I have been more engaged and more involved, mostly because almost all of my Twitter friends are people from my online quilting community. A lot of podcasters are up there twittering. I tweet. I always want to say twittering, but it's not. It's tweeting. See, I'm just so not hip like the kids. You know, Susan the History Quilter, tweeting not only about quilting, but also food. She was really hyped on French bread, National French Bread Day. We got a lot of French bread talk, always nice. You know, but so Susan's there and Sandy and Pam and AJ and all kinds of podcasting folk, and then a lot of people, other people, you know, from the community, like Jay and Robin, and of course now I'm thinking of other podcasters like Darla and Noni, very active. Anyway, oh, Lazy Daisy, very active. And I've decided it kind of feels like this cocktail party that you wander into, and in fact, it's like a quilty cocktail party. No one, to the best of my knowledge, is quilting and drinking at the same time, although it would actually be fun at some point to have a online tweeting quilting cocktail party. Y'all are invited. But it is. There's just a lot of chat, and it's like a cocktail party. Not that I actually go to many cocktail parties, but it has that feeling of sort of people wandering in and out of conversations. You get you know, one discussion going, and it kind of trails off, and then there's another discussion. And I feel like since most of the folks I'm friends with are friends with each other, You know, that's, I mean, that's why it does feel like this discussion. It does feel like a party. I'm trying to think. I feel like the only person other than who's not a quilter friend is Roseanne Cash. And her tweets aren't that interesting. I may unfollow her. Shh, don't tell. Don't want to hurt her feelings. But otherwise, it really is just quilting folk, and everybody is friends with each other. So it is kind of fun. So I enjoy that, and it's kind of, you can cut for a while and then give yourself a little treat by checking to see if there are any new tweets or if anyone has responded to what you said. So that has been pretty much my quilty weekend. I got an interesting comment, actually on episode 79, episode before last, from, I believe it was Gretchen. Let me check really quick. Yes, it was Gretchen responding to some comments I made about the loading dock. I was looking at Quilt Mania. There was a picture of the quilt, the loading dock, which has won all sorts of prizes, has been very visible this year, at least in magazines. It is Santa's elves loading Santa's sleigh. And I hope, by the way, Gretchen, when I talked about that, that I was clear to say I thought it was a very accomplished quilt. And it was just sort of a matter of taste that I found it a little cartoonish. And Gretchen said she actually saw it in Paducah, and she said it really did not strike her as cartoonish. It really seemed like a very fine children's book illustration. So I went back and I looked at it, and I could see that. And I thought, you know, if I had seen this in a children's book or on a Christmas card, I'm not sure I would have been bothered by what struck me as being cartoonish about it. And I don't know why it being on a quilt or in a quilt of a quilt, did bother me. The other thing, I really looked at it, and I again was forced, not forced, I mean, it's admirable. It's really a beautiful quilt. And I'm sure, I would imagine if I had seen it in person, I might have responded quite differently to it. But it is a beautiful quilt. But you know what? There's a lot of yellow-green in it. And that's something, and I wondered if on some level that's also kind of pushed me out of the quilt, push me away from enjoying the quilt, because as I've talked about, it's just my least favorite thing, and it's especially my least favorite thing in the Christmas colorscape. I'm using that word again. You know, Daisy said I could; she liked it. So, colorscape. These last few years is the replacing of the traditional blue, green, green, or even true green with the yellow green. And that has been especially noticeable in wrapping paper. And it makes me crazy because I really do not respond to this color. So there it was in the quilt. And that may be part of it, that I rejected the yellow green, replacing the true green in some of the elves' costumes. So I don't know. It brings up really interesting questions about taste. When you can look at something and go, I can see that that's good. And I understand why other people like it and love it. And this is a quilt that clearly is getting a lot of really positive response. People really do love it. And so you look at it and go, I know this. I understand it. I'm not sitting there going, I can't understand why people like this, why people have been duped into liking this quilt. It's not that. But for some reason, it just doesn't resonate with me. And I think that's just interesting. I think taste is interesting in general, especially when we're not talking about, well, things that are clearly icky or bad, Jersey Shore or whatever that show is, which I've never watched. It may be brilliant. I actually shouldn't say it's icky bad. And things that are clearly beautiful and wonderful. It's more interesting to me when things that are clearly well done and yet you don't have the response other people are having. I don't know. I think there must just be a lot of factors. And I think color, I think, is fascinating that way, because I think it's Kelly the Fifth who has said that she likes the kind of acid yellowy green and I wonder, it's like, well, maybe it's because she's in California and there's something about the colorscape that is part of her environment that makes it more appealing. But, you know, I'm driving around, spring has sprung here, and so the new green leaves are on the trees, and I'm like, oh man, I hate this color green. So I don't know. It's interesting to me how we see things and how we can look at the same thing and have such different responses. But I certainly respect Gretchen's response. And it was really interesting to go back and look at a picture of that quilt and imagine it in a children's book. And I think I was like, oh, yeah, in a children's book, it would really work for me. So, but I appreciate Gretchen saying something and giving me an opportunity to think about it some more. But I do want to be very clear. I do think it's a really accomplished, beautiful quilt. Anyway, I think that's it for right now. I'm about to I think I'm about to cut some scraps. And I'm watching from Lark Rise to Candleford, or is it from Candleford to Lark Rise? One or the other. I'm on season two, just started season two. And it's fun. It's good to watch while you're working on something. I'm not sure I could just sit in front of the TV and watch it, but it's very pleasurable and enjoyable and doesn't necessarily call for my full attention. So I may fire that up, go throw some potatoes in the oven to bake for dinner, and dinner's going to be late tonight because we've got the game. The man was like, we're not even going to eat till 7:15 because Will and I've got to watch the game. Jack's at youth group, and if Jack were here, couldn't care less about the game. That's how it goes. Different strokes, babes. Different strokes. All right, more soon. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Thursday. March 29th, 2012. I'm just finishing up with the quilt diaries. I've meant to do this all week, although I have to admit, what I've been doing, not that exciting. Cutting. I continue to cut out squares for Rick's star quilt and am cutting scraps. Very fun. Haven't decided what to do about organizing the scraps. Re-listen to Pam's podcast episode over at Hip to Be a Square about what she did. She made very darling fabric holders. She should do a tutorial on how to make those. Hint, hint. Yeah, and I did actually look around at Target and saw some plastic containers. It would be perfectly fine and cute, but I'm trying to stay away from plastic if I can. We'll see. I might not. Yesterday, I went to a coffee. It was given by one of the seventh grade moms for all the seventh grade moms. This mom I like very much, and usually I would not do one of these things, but because I really like this mom, and I ran into her in a coffee shop, and she said, are you going to come? And I had been thinking that I would. I was a little bit on the fence, but then I ran into her, and when she said, so are you coming to my coffee? And I said, well, of course I'm coming to your coffee. She sent out darling email invitations, so cute. I mean, I could barely resist the invitation. And I'm glad I went, although, as we know, I'm an introvert, right? So that's half the reason. I'm like, oh, going to talk with people? I don't know. But I mean, I can do it. And there are a lot of people. There are a lot of seventh grade moms I like a lot. You know, my kids have been in the same school for a long time, and Jack, being in seventh grade, has been, 8 years in this school. So a lot of these women I've known a long time. And I kind of like this. I like the third grade moms too a lot. And there are a couple seventh grade moms who are also third grade moms. That's especially fun. There are some very young third grade moms. So I sort of gravitate more toward the seventh grade moms. Anyway, thought I would just go from 8 to 9. The coffee was scheduled from 8 to 10. I thought I'll go right after I drop off Jack. It'll be 8 o'clock. I'll go over to Dana's house, drink some coffee, chat a little bit, and then come home and take the dog out and go right. Well, I ended up staying till like 10:30. I started trying to leave at 9:15. And then I would just run into people and you chat and it's fun and they're nice. Everybody's nice. So it was a good time, although of course by the time I got home, I was totally zonked, zapped, walked over the head with chatter and chat. Very fun. Good talk. I had a couple of really good talks with people. Anyway, so it wasn't a good riding day for me yesterday. But one of the things at Dana's house, she had a yo-yo quilt folded over the back of a couch. It was darling. And I said to her, I love that quilt. Did you make it? No, she didn't. I said, well, it's darling. I said, I kind of would like to make a yo-yo quilt, but they're very labor-intensive. And she said, well, you know what you could do? You could do it like what I do with my needlepoint. She doesn't needlepoint Christmas ornaments every year, and she just always has a bag with her Christmas ornaments with her, so whenever she has time to wait or, a doctor's office or what have you, she works on her Christmas ornaments. She's like, you could do that with yo-yos. And I thought, you know, I could do that with yo-yos. I mean, I do that with knitting already. We're going to a band concert tonight, and I've got my knitting ready. I'm good to go. But I could do that with yo-yos. So now I'm very excited because I just find yo-yo quilts so aesthetically pleasing. They, in some ways, to me, don't really, I'm not sure they merit the name quilt, but they're still, they're covers. But I really love how they look very much. So I am really excited by that very notion. So I'm glad I went to the coffee for many, many reasons. I'm trying to think if I have anything else to tell you. I'm not sure that I do, and I still have to go around and do the beginning. So I don't right now. I could later. Maybe I will tomorrow, and I'll just start quilt diaries for next week. We shall see. But I think for now, I'm going to say bye. I've got to go make dinner, and I'm really hoping to get this posted tonight. I do not think I have pictures of anything to put up. I'll put up a picture of something fun just to put up a picture, but I don't think I have any work in progress type pictures. I'll check. I did get my sampler quilt almost done. Did I talk about the Dresden plate that I'm just like two petals shy? That I may finish that tonight if I have time. But I did get out all my sampler blocks. I mean, there's just six of them. And ironed them and have them back on my design board. So that's neat. So I'm thinking about that. Also thinking how I want to redo and rethink color, etc. But to have the Dresden plate, it will, whatever, if I end up redoing color, believe me, will not be, it. What the color will be compatible with my Dresden plate, because I'm not doing that again. Although I'm finding it kind of enjoyable. So not so bad, not so bad. All right, I'm going. You need to go someplace too, I'm sure. So I hope you have a great week. I hope you get lots of quilting done. Make some time for it. It's good for you. And I will talk to you next week, and hopefully we'll have pictures of many fun things, maybe even a yo-yo or two. Happy quilting. Bye.